chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, such a good chapter too. Anyway, I was studying Daniel today, could you tell? Anyway, Esther, let's do Esther. Do you remember that Haman hates the Jews? Just kind of reminding you of what's taking place. And he had this gallows built, this 50-cubit thing, so it's high, it's over by his house, and so you could see it from a long way off, and he's hoping to hang Mordecai on it, Mordecai the Jew. He doesn't realize that Esther is a Jew. He doesn't realize that Mordecai and Esther are related in some way. He just hates Mordecai and wants to hang him. Thinking he's going to get permission from the king, he goes in. Instead, the king found out that, of course, remember Mordecai saved his life. And he was never thanked or rewarded in any way. And so he said to Haman, what do you think we ought to do? What should I do to the man that I want to honor? Haman thought, he wants to honor me. Oh, this is kind of embarrassing. Well, you recall what went on. He had to lead that little Jew that he hated on the king's horse in the king's robes through town, declaring the king wants to honor him. And it was humiliating. And of course, he ran home. He was embarrassed, remember? And then his family turned on him and his friends. You kind of get used to that. And they said, yeah, you probably won't even live another day. Well, then the knock on the door. Hey, it's time for the banquet. Remember, you were invited by the queen to the banquet. Chapter 7. So the king and Haman came to banquet with Esther the queen. And the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition, Queen Esther? And it shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? And it shall be performed even to the half of the kingdom. You see, he loves Esther. Now, Haman is still humiliated. That was embarrassing to have to do what he did. That Jew will not bow down before him. It's the only one in the province that won't. And he's so angry with him. He wants to have him hanged. Instead, Mordecai is blessed and honored. And so Haman is just a little frustrated over that. Now he goes to the banquet with the king. And, you know, as we can see, obviously, Haman does not know where Esther comes from. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know she's related to Mordecai. He doesn't know that she's a Jew. So, at this moment, even though he's a little bit humiliated, at this moment, really, he's kind of still honored that he has been invited. No others, just the king and the prime minister have been invited the second day in a row to the banquet that the king had, that the queen had made. So the king says it again. Well, yesterday I asked you, you told me you'd tell me today. So I'm asking you today, Esther, what is your request? What do you want? It's already granted up to half the kingdom. Just tell me what it is. Now she's going to spill the beans. She takes a deep breath. Then Esther, the queen, answered and said, if I have found favor in thy sight, O king, if it please the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we are sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be slain and to perish. We're all under the death penalty. We're going to die. But if we had been sold for bondmen and bondwomen, slaves, I had held my tongue, although the enemy could not countervail the king's damage. What would you like, Queen Esther? This is the second day you told me you were going to let me know. What would you like? Esther says, I'd like that you would spare my life. I'm asking if you would let me live. And of course, now the king is looking at her. He has no idea what she's talking about. No idea. You don't realize that this king, dummy that he is, he didn't sign that decree. He gave the ring to Haman. Remember, Haman did this dirty work. So the king probably hasn't even read it or really given it much thought. And so he's looking at this woman like, I don't know what she's drinking, but I don't want any of that, you know. What is that? What do you mean you're under the death penalty? You're the queen. I ask you to spare my life and spare the life of my people. For we have been sold to be destroyed. Listen to this humble attitude. She says, if we had only been sold into slavery, I would have kept silent. I would have never said a word. But we've been sold to complete destruction, to death. So I'm asking that you spare my life and the lives of my people. Then King Ahasuerus answered and said unto Esther the queen, who is he and where is he that dared presume in his heart to do this or to do so? You notice the king doesn't realize what the law is about, and he also did not know she was a Jew. Well, remember, Mordecai told her, when you get in there, keep your mouth closed. Don't tell him you're Jewish. And, you know, she's been there quite a while now, and the king has no clue. The king has no idea Esther was a Jew. No real idea of exactly what Haman had done. And he really doesn't quite understand why Haman would do something like this. And he asks the question to Esther, I don't know what you're talking about. Who would do such a thing? I mean, who gave the order to destroy all you and your people? Oh, boy. And now, wouldn't you love to be Haman just standing there? excuse me. Oh, my goodness. What could he say? Well, Esther said, the adversary and the enemy is this wicked Haman. I mean, you can see her pointing right at him in his face. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen. I don't doubt that. This wicked Haman. She's pointing at him. I mean, probably in anger and in disgust. And notice Haman can say nothing. He's just swallows hard and stands there. Or sits there if he's on the couch. He's scared now. And the king, this is verse 7, arising from the banquet of wine, in his anger, went into the palace garden. He got out of the room that they were in. He left. He's upset. He doesn't understand what's going on. Well, Haman is the prime minister. He's my right-hand guy. Now, why would he do something like that? I don't even understand the logic. So the king is very angry. Of course, I didn't know she was a Jew. So he's angry. He goes outside. Got to get some fresh air. Smart. Better think about this before you say anything else. Because you got a problem here. As the king, arising from the banquet of wine in his wrath, went to the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. When he watched the king walk out, he's thinking those two dreaded words, uh-oh. He's mad. He's known for his temper. You know, he might just come back and say, cut his head off right here so I can watch. You don't know what he's going to do. He's outside kind of getting some air and thinking this through. And Haman thinks, I better try to save my skin here. King leaves. And remember, the king's got some thinking to do because his wife is a Jewess. She's a Jew. She's a Hebrew. And he didn't know that. And now all Hebrews are under sentence of death. The 13th of the last day, the 13th of the last month, of the 12th month. They're going to die. They're all going to be put to death. Now his queen is one of them. He loves her. And the law cannot be changed or taken back. Remember that? Once it was sealed by the king's ring, the signet ring, it could not be rescinded or taken back. Even the king himself doesn't have that kind of authority over the Medes and the Persians. So he's got to think this through. Haman, in the meantime, basically begs for his life. I don't doubt that, do you? I mean, the guy knows what's coming. And his only hope is if he can talk Esther into thinking, well, you know, I'm really sorry. Could you, you know, tell the king, don't kill me, tell me something. I don't know. He knows that the king loves the queen. He knows when the king comes back in here, he's probably not going to be real happy. So he begs the queen to spare his life. Verse 8 says, then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine. And Haman had fallen upon the bed. Now, in our language, we wouldn't say bed. They would, when they would eat, they would sit and lay on these nice couches. It could almost look like a day bed, but it'd have a pillow and it'd be a fancy leather covered, a beautiful couch kind of thing. And they would each be sitting on a different couch and they would have their meals. Well, so Haman had kind of pulled himself up. Maybe he fell down on his knees. He was begging. He kind of pulled himself up onto the couch where Esther was. And the king, when he walked in, all he saw was Haman grabbing at the queen, probably grabbing at her, saying, please, you know, forgive me and speak to the king on my behalf. Well, the king doesn't know that. Here's what the king sees. Haman is on the couch with her, grabbing at her, and the king's mad already. And here's what he says. Will he force the queen also in my presence in the house? He's trying to rape the queen. He's trying to grab the queen. What is he doing? And as the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. In other words, the servants did nothing until the king walked in and said, what is he doing? He's attacking the queen. Instantly, without being ordered, the servants grab Haman and pull him off there. And you're thinking, uh-oh. Narbona, one of the chamberlains, said to the king, here's a real friend of yours. This is one of the chamberlains. He works with the prime minister. He says, behold, also, the gallows. Hey, those gallows, they're brand new, 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king. They're standing at the house of Haman. Then the king said, great, hang him on them. Hang him high, hang him thereon. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath was pacified. Can you get the picture? Haman is so angry at this little Jew. Why didn't you just leave him alone? Why didn't you just let it go? You know, because time wounds all heals. Why didn't you just leave it alone, Haman? Just do your job. Be honest and upright and do your job and leave that alone. No, I'm going to get that guy because he won't bow. As a matter of fact, I'm so mad, we'll make a decree that every Jew is slaughtered. Every Jew is put to death. Remember, they cast lots. What day? The 13th. What month? The 12th month. Okay, that's it. The 13th day of the 12th month will kill all Jews. We didn't know the queen was a Jew. Now he's got this problem on his hands and he's begging the queen. And as he's grabbing at her, the king walks back in. And immediately Haman is arrested. One of the chamberlains says, you know, king, Haman planned to hang Mordecai. Mordecai only did good to you. He was the one that told you that they were going to assassinate you. The gallows are ready. And so the king immediately goes, hang him high. 50 cubits. Go. Do it. So they hang Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for someone else. Does that sound scriptural? Sure does, doesn't it? It sure does. Galatians chapter 6. And this is very, very common to you and I. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, the next verse goes on to say, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Can you be a Christian and sow to the flesh? Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know we can. And we do. And when we sow to the flesh, what do we reap? What did God say earlier on? They've sown to the wind and they shall reap the whirlwind. Remember that? Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. We are his children. Haman wasn't his. Haman was an enemy. But the point is not just for Haman, but for all of us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 is written to you and me. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You cannot fool God with the things that we're doing. Look at Proverbs 11:5. Proverbs 11:5. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. You'll see in the Psalms that the wicked are ensnared by the traps that they set for others. What happened to Haman? He was hung on the gallows that he had built to hang someone else. Jesus says to Peter, put the sword away. He who lives by the sword dies by the sword. Proverbs chapter 5. Let's go backwards from 11. Proverbs 5, verses 21 through 23. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. If you really think that you're going to live a life, especially as a Christian, and leave God out of it, what's that old saying that really doesn't make any sense? You have another think coming. If you really do think, if you and I think we're just going to live any old way and everything's just going to work out, it doesn't work that way. And especially for those who live unrighteously. Don't be deceived. God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, he reaps. Haman didn't understand that. By the time he did understand it, it was too late. By the time he was begging for mercy, it was just too late. We're in chapter 8 now. On that day did King Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, gave it to Esther, the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. Esther said, he's my cousin. Now, not only did Mordecai save the king, but now the king finds out he's related to my wife. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther said, Mordecai over the house of Haman. Everything Haman owned now belonged to Mordecai, the Jew, that little Jew who wouldn't bow. Now that little Jew who wouldn't bow, who trusted the Lord, notice he is now the prime minister. Haman is hanging on the gallows there, just hanging around. And Mordecai is the prime minister. He is now the right-hand man of the king. Who would have planned that? I mean, how? That wasn't Mordecai's plan. Certainly it wasn't Esther's plan. Her plan was to do what he said, keep quiet, never let him know you're a Jew. But you notice it was God's plan. So he goes from working at the gate of the king to being the prime minister for the king. King took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, gave it to Mordecai. Esther sent Mordecai over the house of Haman. Remember chapter 6. Haman boasted how rich he was. Remember that? Got a great family, got all the riches in the world, got this great home. But the one thing that bugs me, it's all almost like useless because I can't stand Mordecai. If I could get rid of him. You know, Haman, you had everything going for you. Why didn't you just leave it alone? Sometimes I think that about us. Christian, you've got everything going for you. Why don't you just leave some of this stuff alone? And you'll see old cliches, and they're scriptural. And things like, let a sleeping dog lie. Leave it alone. Why wake it up? If you wake it up, it might bite you. Why not just leave it alone? Haman should have left well enough alone. He had everything he could ever want. Except the one thing that bugged him was the person he hated, and now it's caused his own destruction. These are written, as the New Testament tells us, for examples to us. You say, we're Christians. True, we are. Hopefully every one of us belongs to Jesus. But still, it's an example to me. What a great lesson to learn. Let God take revenge if revenge is needed or necessary. God says, the Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Let him do it. Don't try to do it yourself. You'll probably be sorry at the results. Now, Mordecai is now prime minister. He's rich. Got a nice house with a nice tall gallows out in front. Something hanging from it, but they'll take him down sooner or later. All of Haman's house, all his property, all his riches now belong to Mordecai. Can you, you know, if you had told Haman 2 days ago that that was going to be, he would have spit in your face and said, there's no way that little Jew, he won't be, there's no way. And here Haman is dead. Mordecai's prime minister. Wow. Things happen fast in the Bible, don't they? They do in your life, too. They do in mine. If we would just let God be God, but we're worried he can't handle it. Or we're worried that he's going to mess it up for us because we've got a little plot, a little plan. Just get your hands off of it. There was an old saying, and it was a bumper sticker. I used to think it's dumb, but no, it's really true. Let go and let God. Just turn it loose and let God do what he's doing in your life. Look at verse 3. Esther spoke yet. This is verse 8, or chapter 8, verse 3. Esther spoke yet again before the king and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of Haman, the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. Then the king held out the golden scepter towards Esther. Remember, that means he approved and he accepted her. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it please the king and if I found favor in your sight and the things seem right before the king and I be pleasing in your eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews, which are in all the king's provinces. Excuse me. For how can I endure to see the evil that shall come to my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my kindred? Excuse me. Esther begs the king. She falls down on her knees before the king. Begs him, please take back the order to kill the Jews. Please take it back. Esther doesn't understand. It can't be done. The law cannot be taken back or rescinded. She says this. Esther's saying, I'm glad that Haman got what he deserved. That's what he deserved. It was wrong. And that's what he deserved. But you see, it doesn't change anything. It won't save my people. Haman being dead will not change the 13th day of the last month of the year. The law has gone forth and all Jews are to be killed on the 13th day of the last month of the year. So this isn't going to change anything. I'm glad Haman's gone. But they're still scheduled to be destroyed. And I'm begging you, take the law back, save my people. Then the king Ahasuerus said to Esther the queen, to Mordecai the Jew, behold, I have given Esther the house of Haman. And him they have hanged upon the gallows because he laid his hand upon the Jews. Write ye also for the Jews as it liketh you in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring. For the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring may no man reverse. So here's the king's answer. And he's frustrated too. The king says, it's true. I know what you're saying. I'm sorry. It's true. Everything that Haman has is yours. But the people are still in grave danger, and I can do nothing about that. I cannot reverse the law. It can't be done. It's going to happen on the 13th, and there's nothing I can do, at least with that law. Though it can't be revoked, the king looks at Esther and Mordecai and says, Mordecai, you have the ring. In other words, you can make any decree that you choose. And once it's done with the signet ring, it is law. So what I'm suggesting to you is I can't do anything about the law that has gone out. You need to do something about it yourselves. Give it some thought and make some kind of decree. I'll leave it up to you guys. You have the authority. Write another decree. Any decree that you choose. Think it through, though. Then were the king's scribes, this is verse 9 of chapter 8. Then were the king's scribes called at that time in the third month, that is the month Sivan. And on the third and 20th day thereof, and it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews, and to the lieutenants and the deputies and the rulers of provinces, which are from India and to Ethiopia, 127 provinces, unto every province according to the writing thereof, and unto every people after their language, and to the Jews according to their writing and according to their language. And he wrote in King Ahasuerus' name, sealed it with the king's ring, sent letters by post on horseback, on riders on mules and camels and young camels, dromedaries, wherein the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and the province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and take the spoil of them for a prey. Upon one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus' name, or namely, upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against the day to avenge themselves on their enemies. So the posts that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened or hurried and pressed on by the king's commandment, and the decree was given at Shushan, the palace. Here's what they did. The king said, I cannot take the law back. It's the law of the Medes and the Persians. I can't do it. But you have the ring, and you can make another decree. Think about it. Figure out a way. That can't be changed, but maybe there's something you can do. And Mordecai, certainly, and probably Esther along with him, came up with a plan. Here's the plan. So they called the scribes in to write down the new decree in all languages, every language spoken in the Babylonian kingdom, write it down in every language, and send it out to all the provinces and get them there as fast as you can get them. All the Jews in every province, in all 127 provinces, all the Jews were given full right and permission to get weapons and to band together in every province and to defend themselves. See, they weren't allowed to have the weapons before. Now, the law can't be changed, but here's what we can do. Group yourself together, almost like in little bands, armies. Get every weapon, any weapon you can get a hold of, and defend yourselves. You're given permission to fight back and to kill those that are attacking you. And to take spoil. If you kill them, you can have their property, their houses, you can have their money. And you know something? You think, what a bummer. Because you can't change the law. The decree has gone forth. All Jews will die. Now, a new decree. You don't have to die if you don't want to. You can stand, get weapons, and defend yourself. In other words, there's something you can do. There's one way. So you need to make a choice. Do you get it? Don't you see what's going on? You see, the decree went forth a long time ago that all sin must be punished. The wages of sin is death, so all are under the decree of death. And that decree can't be taken back. The wages of sin is death. Death or sin must be judged. So the decree went forth, all under the death penalty. But another decree went forth also, didn't it? when Jesus Christ came to this earth and preached repentance and went to the cross and shed his blood and died on that cross for the sin of the world. And on the third day rose again. Another decree went forth. And what was it? If you want to live, there's one way. Band together in Jesus Christ. You see what we're learning here in this book of Esther, where God is not even mentioned. The decree that cannot be rescinded. All have sinned and come short of God's glory. So they need a redeemer. They need a way to protect their lives, save their lives. Another decree goes forward. Jesus Christ and him crucified and risen from the dead. Well, you can see what's going on here. Now the Jewish people have a choice to make, don't they? On the 13th day of the last month, people may come and try to kill you. If they do, you have a choice to make. You can either go ahead and die, or you can band together, take up weapons, and defend yourselves, which you wouldn't have had the right to do earlier. Now the new decree, there's a way that you can have life. So each Jew has to make a choice. Look at verse 15. Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold, and with garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province and in every city, whithersoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. And many of the people of the land became Jews, for the fear of the Jews fell upon them. Oh, wow. Many people of the land became Jews. Mordecai is dressed royally. He's the prime minister now. He's got the king's ring. He's the king's right-hand man, the prime minister. He heads out into the city, dressed royally. There's joy. Instead of the sackcloth and ash that he was wearing just a few days ago, there is now joy, and he's dressed royally. You know, instead of that sin that was crushing you, and you were under the bondage of that sin, and you were under the death penalty, Jesus Christ paid the price. You came to Jesus Christ, and now you're set free, and you're dressed in royal robes of righteousness. There are no more sackcloth and ash, but now there's joy. Notice the Jews, there's almost a celebration. There's joy throughout the city. Not just in the city of Shushan, but in all the provinces of the kingdom where the decree came forth. They knew they were under the death penalty. Now you stand a chance. Now there is life offered to you. And so there's a celebration. And because of the joy, and because of the Mordecai being in position as a prime minister, and Queen Esther, now everybody knows she's a Jew. That's her cousin. The queen is a Jewish. Her cousin Mordecai is the prime minister. There's joy. Everybody sees basically how God has worked. And notice what happens. The people converted. Many converted. Many became Jews. It says, what does that mean? Became Jews. Here's what it means. They began to worship and to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It was a witness to the entire kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. And many began to serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Amazing. The way God gets things done. Isn't it amazing? Things you would have never thought. And here it goes. Now, in the 12th month, remember, that's the 13th day of the 12th month, the Jews are going to die. In the 12th month, that is the month Adar. On the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary, that the Jew had rule over them that hated them, the Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the provinces of the king Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their hurt, and no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. And all the rulers of the provinces and the lieutenants and the deputies and the officers of the king helped the Jews because the fear of Mordecai fell upon them. Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went out throughout all the provinces. For this man, Mordecai, grew greater and greater. Think about it. He's been prime minister just a short time now. Now the day comes, you're going to kill Jews, and the leaders of the provinces are thinking, okay, now we better warn the people. You better think twice about this, because the guy that's the prime minister who can make the next decree, he's a Jew. Now, you better think about hard about how you're going to handle this, everybody. It's up to you, because the law says you can kill him. But, you know, I would think twice, says the people were afraid, because Mordecai's power was greater and greater in the kingdom. What you're learning is there weren't, well, of the millions upon millions who were a part of the Medo-Persian Empire, there were not millions who were willing to attack the Jews, because Mordecai was now a powerful man, held in good reputation by most of the kingdom, especially the king. Look at what God will do if you will just trust him. If you and I would just listen to him and trust him. Usually we find ourselves going, I wish I would have. I wish I would have listened to him and trusted him, but now I'm in deep in this trouble. And you know, I thought I was had gotten over these kind of things, but now I'm in the middle of it again. Well, here's a lesson to learn. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. He'll make those paths smooth or straight. Well, look at verse 5. Chapter 9. Thus the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and slaughter, and destruction, and did what they would unto those that hated them. And in Shushan, the palace, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 people, 500 men. And Parshandatha, and Dalphon, and Aspatha, and Poratha, and Adalia, Aridatha, good grief, and Parmashta. I'm just reading these. These are provinces, by the way. And Arisai, and Aridai, and Vajezatha. Excuse me. These are the 10 sons, by the way, I'm sorry, of Haman. The enemy of the Jews, they killed, they slew the 10 sons. But on the spoil, they laid not their hand. On the day, the number of those that were slain in Shushan, the palace was brought before the king on that day. And the king said to Esther the queen, the Jews have slain and destroyed 500 men in Shushan, the palace, and the 10 sons of Haman. What have they done in the rest of the king's provinces? Now what is thy petition? And it shall be granted thee. Or what is thy request further? And it shall be done. Okay, today was the day that they should have been killed. 500 were killed, plus the 10 sons of Haman. What else would you like done? That's great. I love it. This is what Esther said. Verse 13. If it please the king, let it be granted to the Jews which are here, and she said, to do tomorrow according unto this day's decree, and let Haman 10 sons be hanged on the gallows. Let us hang the kids, those 10 sons, and let us continue to be able to defend ourselves tomorrow. In case some people were killed today and their families are upset about it and want to get revenge, could you give us one more day permission to defend ourselves? And the king commanded that it so be done. Or so to be done. And the decree was given to Shushan, and they hanged Haman's 10 sons. For the Jews that were in Shushan gathered themselves together on the 14th day, that would be the next day, also of a month later, and slew 300 more men at Shushan. But on the prey, they laid not their hands. Okay, you see what went on? When the day came, the Jews were attacked. They banded together to protect themselves. They were attacked. They killed 500 people and Haman's 10 sons. And so the king says, okay, that's done. What do you want done now? And the queen says, would you do me a favor? Publicly hang his sons so people can see it. and then give us permission to continue to defend ourselves at least through tomorrow. Because there may be others who lost loved ones. You could see what would happen. They'd be upset and they'd want to attack. So could you give us permission to carry out our self-defense or protection for one more day through tomorrow? King says, go for it. Just in case someone tries to repay for the deaths of today. Well, the next day they killed 300 more on the 14th of the month. Notice twice now we've read. But they did not take any of the spoils. You notice that. You could, the law, the decree said you could, the people that you kill, you can take their houses, you can take their animals, you can take their money, you can take whatever they've got, you take the spoils. That's what the decree says. Notice none of the Jews touched any of the spoils. The reason is, I'm sure Mordecai and Esther probably talked to as many as they could. And the reason is this, that's not what this is about. This is not about getting. This is about the opportunity by God's grace to defend yourself. That's all they were after. They're not after money or wealth or great gain, just to be able to defend themselves, to protect their families. And verse 16 goes on to say, but the other Jews that were in the king's provinces gathered themselves together and stood for their lives and had rest from their enemies and slew of their foes 75,000. But they laid not their hands on any of the spoils, on any of the prey. On the 13th day of the month of Adar, and on the 14th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. But the Jews that were Shushan assembled together on the 13th day thereof, and on the 14th day thereof, and on the 15th day of the same, they rested and made it a day of feasting and gladness. Therefore the Jews of the villages that dwelt in the unwalled towns made the 14th day of the month a day of gladness and feasting, and a good day, and sending portions one to another. Okay, that may sound confusing. And sometimes when you try to figure out these Jewish festivals and things, sometimes they may sound confusing, but it's not. It's not really hard to understand. You see, they killed 500 on the 13th and 300 on the 14th. Are you with me? There in the area of the palace, in the city of Shushan. Now, in the rest of the provinces, it only took place on the 13th. Throughout the entire kingdom, they killed another 75,000 people total. That's throughout the entire kingdom. Of the millions upon millions that could have attacked, not much went on, notice. But it only happened on the 13th. There were no reprisals or surprise attacks the next day. So, you see, the people in the outlying areas and all the provinces, they just partied and celebrated and gave gifts and gave things to the poor on the 14th. But here in Shushan, the 13th and the 14th, they were busy defending themselves. So they had their celebration on the 15th. It's easy to understand. It really is. Look at verse 20. Mordecai wrote these things and sent letters to the Jews, unto all the Jews that were in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus, both near and far, to establish this among them, that they should keep the 14th day of the month, Adar, and the 15th day of the same, every year. As the days wherein the Jews rested from their enemies, and the month which was turned unto them for sorrow to joy, and from mourning into good day, that they should make them days of feasting and joy, and sending portions one to another, and gifts to the poor. So now they're going to make it every year from now on a celebration in remembrance, basically, of what God did, how God delivered them, how God saved their lives. Mordecai writes it all down, sends letters throughout all the provinces that the Jews should celebrate every year the 14th and the 15th of the 12th month. Why? To remember what the Lord has done. Notice they're going to make this a yearly feast, celebration. Every year they're going to celebrate to remember what the Lord has done. Do you remember that the Lord told them, Passover, you should celebrate it every year at a certain time? Why? To remember what the Lord has done. And then they would do the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles. Why? One full week out of the year. Why would they do that every year and still do? To remember the Lord, what he has done. And Jesus the night he was betrayed, when he took the bread, and he took the cup, what did he tell us to do? Remember, didn't he? God expects us, fully expects us, I believe, not just the Jews, but every one of us that belongs to him, fully expects us to remember regularly what he's about and what he has done. And when you get into your next jam, into your next trial, you should immediately remember all that God has done. He got us through the wilderness. He took us through on dry land across the Red Sea. Look at all the things that God has done. Look at the things he's done in your life. And in this next trial, you will say, and he will take me through this as well. We are to remember. They celebrate every year on the 14th and 15th of the last month of the Jewish year. They celebrate. What do? Rejoice. Share food. In other words, they do pot faiths. And give gifts to the poor. Always remember the poor. A celebration where everyone is included. No one's left out. Just like the love feasts in the New Testament. The rich and the poor together. No one is left out. It's a celebration. They share food together and they give gifts to the poor every year. Just to remember what the Lord had done. Look at verse 23. The Jews undertook to do as they had begun, as Mordecai had written unto them. Because Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of all the Jews, had devised against the Jews to destroy them, and had cast Pur, that is, the lot, to consume them and destroy them. But when Esther came before the king, he commanded by letters that his wicked device, which he had devised against the Jews, should return upon his own head, and that he and his son should be hanged on the gallows. Wherefore, or because of that, they called the days Purim, or Purim, after the name of Pur. Therefore, for all the words of this letter, and of that which they had seen concerning this matter, and which had come unto them. The Jews ordained and took upon them, and upon their seed, and upon all that has joined themselves unto them, so as it should not fail, that they would keep those 2 days according to their writing and according to their appointed time every year. We're just kind of reiterating what we've been told. And that these days should be remembered and kept throughout every generation, every family, every province, and every city, that these days of Purim should not fail from among the Jews, nor the memorial of them perish from their seed. Then Esther the queen, the daughter of Abihail, and Mordecai the Jew, wrote with all authority to confirm this second letter of Purim. He sent the letters to all the Jews, to the 127 provinces of the king of Ahasuerus, and words of peace and truth, to confirm these days of Purim in their times appointed, according as Mordecai the Jew and Esther the queen had joined them, and as they had decreed for themselves and for their seed the matters of fastings and their cry. And the decree of Esther confirmed the matters of Purim, and it was written in the book. All that just was a reiteration that told us this. They call the feast Purim or Purim, depending upon where you come from. Comes from the word Pur, P-U-R, which means lot. Now, what is that all about? Haman cast the lot to see what day would be good to kill the Jews. Then he cast the lot to see what month would be the right month. And so they call this feast the lot. It was then that man shakes the dice, but God decides where they're going to land, right? So they have a feast, Purim, and they celebrate it every year, the 14th and the 15th of the last month of the year. And they remember that Haman had cast lots to choose the month and the day to kill the Jews. So they want to remember without fail. And by the way, today it is still celebrated, Purim. And they celebrate with big celebration, lots of food, lots of fellowship. And of course, they give gifts to the poor and bring the poor in for the food as well. To remember what God has done and how God has delivered you. And the last chapter is 3 verses long. We better do it. And the king Ahasuerus laid a tribute upon the land and upon the isles of the sea. And all the acts of his power and of his might, and the declaration of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and seeking peace to all his people, to all his seed. Here's how the book closes. Closes showing the power of the king. Things he done. King laid a tribute upon the land, upon the isles of the sea. Remember, he was the king of the Medes and the Persians, King Xerxes. So we see the power of the king. And we see, as the book closes, the power of Mordecai. He was promoted to prime minister by the king. And he was revered highly by the king and all the people, Jew and Gentile alike. And every year, Purim is still celebrated to remind God's people, listen closely, that he is their God. You know, Jesus said, remember, we need to be reminded. We just need to be reminded. Because things get ugly. We get afraid. We panic. And instead of coming into fellowship and drawing close to the Lord, I can't be there. I'm worried about this, or I have to do that. We forget that he's God. The celebration of Purim, celebrated by the Jews to remind God's people that he will always be their God. Jesus said this, I'll always be with you, always. I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, never. He's God Almighty. It's also a reminder that he's in complete control. Even when you can't see what he's doing, even when it seems like everything's falling apart around you, we are to remember he is God Almighty, he is in control. He's got this one in his hands. And those that are his, as we learned through Mordecai and Esther, those that are his should faithfully trust him in everything. Faithfully trust and obey the Lord in all their ways. He will always keep his word. Notice he delivered his people, even though they shouldn't have been here. They should have gone on home where they belong. They were out of his will. They were in disobedience according to his word. Yet he delivered them because of his love for them and because of his promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. He will always keep his word. He will always keep his promise. He is continually at work in this world right now on your behalf, Christian, on my behalf, on our behalf. He is continually at work that he might be honored and glorified. Don't panic. I remember Esther saying, when she realized that it had to happen, fast and pray. Well, when they fast in sackcloth and ashes, that's what they're doing. Pray. Fast 3 days. And I'll go before the king. And if I die, I die. If I perish, I perish. Realizing someone has to trust God. Someone's got to do it. He continually is at work in this world that he might bring honor and glory to himself. And he can be trusted. Yes, he could be, even in things like when your car breaks down. He can be trusted. Even when things are going wrong. Even when they're starting to talk at work about layoffs. And you start to panic, and then you can't sleep for 3 straight days because what if? You know what? He can be trusted then too. He can be trusted with your health. He can be trusted with, and I know how we all are. We get ourselves into some of the dumbest holes, don't we? He can be trusted even in the hole we've gotten ourselves into now. He can be trusted if we will just listen to him. And let him. See, he loves you, and he said it. I'll never leave you. never forsake you. I'll be with you always. Let's pray. Lord God,